All right, brethren, Psalm 104. Now, there's the obvious thing stated in this psalm that our Lord created everything, and He upholds everything, and He provides the light, and He provides the water, and He is the foundation. There's the obvious meaning of this. But if that's all we see, we're not going to get any spiritual blessing from it. And I want you to see Christ in this. And so we've been looking at this psalm and how that the things God created, the earth itself and the light and the water, how everything in it typifies some aspect of God's salvation of His people. You know, He said He created all things by Him and for Him. And they glorify the Lord. The heavens show His glory. They said in Acts 14:17, He left not himself without a witness, in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. How many times have you seen it rain outside and we had our plans, you know, for the day or whatever, and it rains and you murmured. You murmured. At least in your heart, disappointed that it rained. You know, God's preaching the gospel to us every time it rains. We just got to have discernment to see it, to hear it. God's preaching the gospel to us every time it rains. I hope we see that today. Look in verse 5. He said, Christ laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. We saw last time that God our Father and His Son laid the foundation by His everlasting covenant of redemption. That was the foundation. That Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. That's when He entered covenant with the Father to save His people. Everything that was created was founded on that covenant promise. That's the word by which He upholds everything. And He's going to hold this world in store until He's called the last of His elect. And that new creation that He made by His blood is founded, the new heaven, the new earth, so that it shall not be removed for eternity. This one's going to be dissolved and burned up. It'll be held in store till He calls the last one, but then it'll be the new heaven and new earth will last forever, created in His righteousness. Now look at verse 6. It says, Thou coverest the earth with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. When He says He covers it with the deep as with a garment, He's talking about the waters. Everything was upon the deep. The waters stood above the mountains. You know, in the original creation, Genesis 1:1 says, In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. We come into this world ruined in sin, completely ruined in sin, without form and void, and darkness is upon the face of the deep. That's us by nature. But by God's covenant grace, the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters. And God says, Let there be light. And Christ the light shines. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And when He makes Christ our light, then we behold what Christ did on the cross. And that's when this verse also will remind us of Noah's day, the flood in Noah's day. He says, Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. That flood in Noah's day was God's justice. It was God's justice upon the whole world. If you want to look at Genesis 6, look there at Genesis 6. And this is what the Lord said. And this was so of all people on the earth then. It's so of all sinners on the earth now. They're only saved by God's grace, because this is the natural heart in all men, the flesh. Genesis 6:5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, that image nation, that image generator called our imagination. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Was that you when before God saved you? Was that you? That was me. Only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God showed Noah grace when he chose him in Christ and blessed him with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places before he made anything. That's when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He showed Noah grace by making Christ the light in his heart, giving Noah faith to believe God. He shut Noah up in the ark. He shut him up in that ark, typifying Christ, bearing all his people being in Christ and bearing that flood of justice on the cross. That was the picture there. And just like the Lord delivered Noah, it's one he chose, it's one he loved, and his house, he delivered them into a new world. He did it through that flood. He delivered him into a new world, a new heaven and a new earth, if you will, through that flood. Well, by Christ bearing the flood of God's justice in place of his people, all his people being in him, and God satisfying the Lord satisfying God's wrath, he delivered all his people through that flood, through that curse, to the new heavens and new earth. We were in him. And when it says he quickened us together with him while as yet we were dead in sin, he's saying it's a mystical thing. It's a mysterious thing. But we were in Christ. And when he quickened Christ and he arose to the right hand of Father and sat down, we did too, all his elect people. He carried us into the new heaven and new earth, just like he did Noah. Just like he did Noah. Now, in Noah's day, for Noah's sake and for the sake of every living thing in that ark, our Lord made the waters subside. For their sake and for every living thing in that ark, he made the waters subside. Look at verse 7. At thy rebuke, the waters, fled. At the voice of thy thunder, they hasted away. Genesis 8:1 says, God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. That's what our psalmist is saying. At thy rebuke, the waters fled. At the voice of thy thunder, they hasted away. Well, on Calvary's cross, when Christ Jesus thundered with his voice and said, it is finished, the flood of God's justice fled away from God's people. The water subsided. The justice of God was settled. The wrath of God fled away from God's people. God remembers Christ and remembers his people in his Son, just like he remembered Noah and all the living in that ark. He remembers Christ and remembers his people in Christ, and the waters of judgment shall never again fall on anyone for whom Christ died. Never again. Because Christ satisfied it. Now, those same waters, those very same waters that were once poured out in justice on all men, that drowned all men in this world and all the living in this world, those same waters are sent by Christ from the mountains to the valleys, providing all living creatures with needed water. Look at verse 8. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. The waters do. Christ sends the water of the Word. He sends the good news of Christ's satisfaction. That same justice that once was a curse to us and caused us to fear the torment of and constantly trying to do to please God, that same justice now, just like that same water, is good news to us. Because that same justice demands you must be delivered. You must be saved. You must be carried into the new heavens and the new earth. The same water. That's the same water. God never made any new water. I rejoice that in that water. I'm thirsty, and I rejoice in it. I want to drink it. But do you think the people in Noah's day rejoiced in it when they saw it falling and falling and falling and falling? But brethren, that same justice that fell on Christ and fell on Christ and fell on Christ, now, because Christ satisfied justice, that same water is good news to you who believe, because it demands your salvation. When God smelled Noah's sacrifice, when Noah came out of that ark, God smelled his sacrifice. God entered a covenant with Noah, and he promised. He said he'll never again destroy the world with water. And he set the bounds of the waters. Verse 9. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. Here shall thou proud waves be stayed. This is what God said to the waters. He set a bound for them. They're not going to flood this whole world again. Holy God smelled the sweet savor of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. He smelled that sweet savor, and he's satisfied. He's satisfied. And he's promising his believing child that the flood of justice shall never, ever again cover us. He set the bounds. The waters of justice are going to flow again, but he set the bounds. They're not going to touch his people. They're not going to touch his people except to declare us righteous. He said, this is as the waters of Noah to me, for as I've sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I've sworn I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. Justice had been poured out on Christ in place of his people to the full satisfaction of holy God. Full satisfaction of holy God. What do you think it takes to please God? Perfection. Absolute perfection. That's hell will be eternal because men will never satisfy in hell. It'll go on forever. Christ satisfied God in 3 hours on the cross. He satisfied the justice of God. And so he set the bound. And that bound is his, that the bounds are his blood and his righteousness. Justice can't touch his people. But instead, even as the Lord sends the same water, and he provides life. That same water that destroyed everybody in Noah's day, that same water falls and waters your plants and waters the grass of the field and waters the crops that we eat and provides us food and provides all living things life and nourishment. Well, just like that same water that was such a curse to the people in Noah's day, well, this same water, this word, this gospel, it's life to you and I who are saved by Christ's redemption. It's life to us. Look here in verse 10. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers, and the earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Oh, brethren, our Lord Jesus Christ, the water of the Word, the water of the Word. You got to have water to have life. You got to have water to be cleansed. The water of this Word, Christ, the good news of Christ accomplished redemption, Christ Himself, this is the life. This is the life. He is the life, and His Word is life, and His gospel cleanses, and it purges us. The thing we have to be purged from, the filth that we have to be purged from, is this notion that somehow we can please God, this proud notion that we're good enough that we can please God by something we do. That's not so. That's not so. That's why Christ sent His Son, God sent His Son. Only God can please God. God came in the flesh to please God. And because He did please Him, and because He did satisfy justice, and because He thoroughly honored His own law, now He's sending forth this water of this Word, just like He sends the rain from heaven, to give you life and to nourish you and to grow you and to keep you. That's what He's doing. That's what He's doing. He sendeth the springs into the valleys. We're in the valleys. And you just picture the mountains and you picture the streams coming down out of the mountains and they come down into the valleys and they go into the meadows and they water the grass and the grass grows and the living beasts, they feed on the grass. He says it grows the cedar, and that's where the fowls of heaven have their habitation, is in the cedar. All this that he's doing. You go out and you have a garden. You take your water hose. You go out there and if it doesn't need water, you don't water it. But if it needs water, you go out there and water it. Our Lord waters this whole garden. It's just like you go out. You got your little potato patch or whatever. You go and water that little planter box you got. Well, that's about the size of this place is to him, and he's watering the whole thing. Literally, with the rain that comes down. But in that rain that comes down, behold the gospel of our Lord from his heavenly mountain, from his throne in glory where he's now ascended. See him sending the rain of the word, sending the gospel down to his people. And watering us and giving us life and making us to grow. That's what we see in what he's doing. Just like every beast of the field and the fowl of the air, Christ sends the water from his chambers. Look at that last verse, verse 13. He watered the hills from his chambers. That's his dwelling, where he is. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Our Lord, he said, consider the sparrow, consider the lilies, consider the raven. They just feeding on what God provides them, what he gives them, and they're satisfied. Well, when you consider this water coming down, the water of the word coming down from his chamber, that's the only way it's going to be sent, is Christ sending it. And when he comes and he waters you and he sends this word into your heart, this will be the sure result. You're satisfied with the fruit of his works. Satisfied. Satisfied with what he accomplished. Satisfied with what he did. Satisfied with all his wonderful works. And to his people, Christ is life. Look at verse 14. He says, he causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthen a man's heart. Everything in that is what Christ is to us. Christ is our life, just like the grass and the herb is life to cattle and to man. He's our life. Christ, the gospel of Christ is the wine that makes glad the heart. Where does it come from? How does a grapevine grow and produce grapes from which wine is made? It all starts with the Lord sending the rain from heaven. He's the gospel who sends this water into our hearts, and it's his blood. It's the gospel of Christ. That's the wine, the best wine that cheers your heart. The oil he sends, he causes the oil to make the face of man to shine. This is from him. He's the oil of the Spirit he sends to give us a new heart, to make our face shine with gladness because of what he's done for us, to know him as he is. We feast upon Christ our bread. He says he gives bread which strengthens man's heart. Just like we wouldn't have any wheat growing and have any bread made if he didn't send the rain, we wouldn't know Christ the bread if he didn't send the water of the word, the gospel to our heart, and make us know Christ is our living bread, our life. I was thinking about this as I was looking at this. I never thought about this before, but we see our own depravity, the depravity of those God saved, in the fact that whenever the Lord founded the nation of Israel, where did he found them? In a dry desert, and brought them through a dry wilderness, a dry desert. But here's salvation in Christ. You know where he said he was going to take them and where he took them? The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. He brought them into a well-watered land. That's That's God finds us in a desert, in a waste town of wilderness, and we're the desert. And he brings us into the well-watered plain of his, where his gospel is. You think about regeneration and life that he creates. He said in Isaiah 35:7, the parched ground, that's what we are by nature, the parched ground. Parched ground shall become a pool. And the thirsty land, springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. This is the doing of our Lord. And typifying Christ our life, coming down in his gospel like rain and dew, God says, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Isn't that what our Lord said? He that cometh to me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this is all by our Lord sending the rain of the word into our heart and giving you life. Giving you life. When David was suffering his trials in the wilderness, he was praying. And you remember, this is what he said in Psalm 63:1. He said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. That's what he was longing for. Thirsting after Christ his righteousness. To behold him. So because Christ is the full provision of his people. Because this has all been accomplished by him. Satisfied God. He's going to send the gospel to his people. It pleased him to save through the foolishness of preaching. He's going to send the water. Every time you see it rain, you think about the gospel. The gospel. And through that preaching of the gospel, he's going to save his people. He's going to save his people. Look at verse 16. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest, the stork, the fir trees are her house, and the high hills are refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. He calls us trees of righteousness. He calls us cedars of Lebanon, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And in that cedar of Lebanon, immovable roots running deep into the earth by the rivers of water where it's fruitful and it's growing and it's strong and it's full of sap. Our Lord said, he speak through Paul and he said that you might be rooted and grounded in faith. Trust in our Lord. And he fills you with sap. He fills you with the Spirit of God. And he makes his house, his habitation, his people, a habitation. Just like he's the habitation for all his people, he makes his church a habitation for the fowls of the air. All these different descriptions of these animals. I think of all the different animals that were in the ark. God saves all kinds of sinners. All kinds of sinners. And by nature, we're all just beasts of the field. That's what we are. But there's all kinds that he saved. But for every one of them, we got one salvation. We got one life. We got one righteousness. We got one hope. We got one faith. We got Christ. Christ. And by him sending this gospel, he makes his people fruitful. He makes himself to be our refuge. So the next time, brethren, that we have plans outdoors or what have you, and it rains, rather than murmuring about the rain, hear the gospel in the rain. Go back and read this psalm again. Compare this with what our Lord does by grace in sending us the gospel. And remember, that same rain that's fallen, that same rain that's fallen today, that's the same water that fell in Noah's day. Same water. And this gospel's coming down. It's not coming as a curse to us now. It's not coming as bad news to us now. All before we knew him, we didn't like to hear he chose a people because we thought we could do the choosing. We didn't like to hear that Christ is the only righteousness of people because we thought we could keep the law and satisfy God by doing. We didn't like to hear that it wasn't good news to us that the Spirit of God's the only one that produces fruit because we thought we were fruit producers. We're a pretty good fruit inspector. And we have to be taught, brethren, we have to be taught over and over, we're the dry, parched land. We're the dry, parched land. We're as dependent on the Lord to send this gospel and His Spirit and all His blessings to us, just like all the beasts of the field are absolutely dependent on the Lord. You think about this. You think of places. He says this. We're going to see this at another time. There's places that man has not been on this earth. There's places in the ocean we've never been to in this earth. And there's creatures that live there. Who provides for them? The Lord does. There's places in the wilderness where no man's around that, you know, we get to thinking, oh, we got to do this and that to the environment to save it. There's places where the cattle are calving and he's making them calf. He's providing them food. He's providing the rain. He's keeping things growing. He's keeping them alive. The Lord's doing all that. That's how dependent we are every single day ourselves on Him for this thing of salvation. Just that dependent. And it's all through the water of the Word. Remember what Moses said? Moses said, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I'll speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God." Remember how this psalm starts? Look back up there at verse 1. "O Lord my God, thou art very great, very great." Ascribe greatness to God. This is what we're declaring. If all we get out of a verse like this is that God is the Creator who created all things, that's a great thing to know. It's a great thing to know. But we got to see Christ. We got to hear Christ. We got to know the only salvation we have is Him. It's Him. It's only Him. Look how that next psalm starts. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glorify ye in His holy name. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." It's His strength. It's his works. This is our rain from heaven. This is our nourishment. This is our life, Christ Jesus. All right, brethren, we'll observe the Lord's table now and remember Him.